Now, time to check in with the Friday Night Lights and Chicago Radio's only prep football scores, stats, and stories program on 720 WGN. This is Preps Plus Chicago with your host, Sam Panionovich.
Who's excited for high school football? One more time. Come on. You got better than that. Go Cubs. That's the way it works. When you
couldn't have worked more about perfect.
When the Cubs clinch, it's Preps Plus Chicago, 720 WGN. Welcome to it. It's 10-11 on your Friday night. And if you are coming home from a high school football game, we appreciate your listenership. If you're listening for the first time, what we do, we give you high school scores, we give you stories, and we give you guests that you want to hear from, including John Holasek, who's the head coach of the number one Loyola Ramblers. He'll join us about 9 minutes from now. Defending state champs, they're 3-0. They haven't lost in 17 weeks, and Coach Holasek will join us. We also have writers from the Chicago Tribune, the Pioneer Press, and our prize, as always, after the 10:30 news is Mike Helfgott. He's brought to you by Lou Malnati's. 17 of the top 20 high school football teams in Chicago, Kev, they are in action today, and you'll have scores 15, 35, 55, anything that I need to hold on to my seat for that you know so far.
So far, pretty much everything we've expected. A lot of blowouts tonight, Sammy. Nothing like last week where we had some tight ones. Really, the past couple weeks there's been some tight games, but so far it's all chalk along the way. So we'll keep you updated on that throughout the top 20. And, of course, scores all throughout the state, as Sam mentioned, 312-981-7200. Please help us out with scores. If you just left a game or if it's late, text them into us. Give us a call. Joy will answer your call, and we'll relay them to the rest of the listeners.
You help us, we help you. You played high school football. I didn't. I played hoops. Yeah. When does it finally click in for a high school football team? Is it week four, week five?
Yeah, I would say it's
you know what you
by.
Are
I
by.
Mean,
Think
about how fast it's flown by just for us. This is week four already. There's 9 weeks in the regular season for high school football. I think about a month in, you start to sort of realize where you're at because, you know, five losses and you're out. So for a lot of these teams, it's, okay, if we get our fourth loss now, then we're pretty much already in playoff season because you got to win out if you're going to make the playoffs. So this is kind of where things start to teams start to separate themselves from others.
We will start the show as we usually do here. We bring in Mike Clark from the Chicago Tribune. He writes for the paper, and he was at number 5 Lincoln Way East at Bolingbrook. I know the Brook was excited early, Mike, but it looks like Lincoln Way cruised to an easy win.
Yeah, East had a problem getting its offense going early. They had 4 turnovers by about the 9-minute mark of the third quarter. But then they just really got into overdrive, scored 34 straight points, and wound up winning 41-23.
What happened early? Why did East struggle to get out of the gate?
I don't know. It's hard to say, really. They just didn't really look in sync offensively. You know, they're going with the 2-quarterback system this year, and the two of them combined for 3 picks early. But, you know, then they figured it out somehow. I guess it takes a while maybe for that to click in, like you were just talking about. You know, when do you finally get in sync? Maybe it's week four, and using 2 quarterbacks and also bringing the kids in from Lincoln Way North when that school closed. You know, it seems like they finally, in the second half tonight, they finally started clicking.
Did you notice the depth? Because we've talked about the shuffling and all the moving that's happened in the Lincoln Way District. North closes. A lot of those kids come to East. There were over 100 kids that tried out to play football for the Griffins. Are they deep as they seem on paper?
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, it's one of the interesting trivia bits that I came up with is that they're doubling up on 16 numbers this year. They don't have enough numbers for all these kids, and that's how many kids they have out. They got the 2 quarterbacks, Jake Arthur and Max Schaefer, and they got just a really good group of receivers. So it's they can rotate kids in to keep them fresh. And also, you know, there's just so many targets out on the field. It's hard to shut them down for a whole 48 minutes, basically.
You wrote a story that was in the paper today for the Chicago Tribune about St. Joe's. When we think of St. Joe's in Illinois high school sports, we think basketball and Gene Pingitore. He's got, I think, 9,887 or 89 wins or whatever, but you wrote about their football team. What did you learn about the football program in Westchester, Mike?
That's one of the great feel-good stories of the year, I think. They've got a new coach, Rich Petrosky, who came out of DRW Trading, one of the Noble Street campuses in the city, and he came into a situation where he's got 15 seniors, which is a lot of seniors at a school that size. There's only 382 kids in the school, so depth has always been a problem for St. Joe's. Numbers have always been a problem. You know, the records aren't real clear on this, but according to Petroski, they haven't even had a winning season in their history. They're 3-0 this year. Got a pretty good shot at making the Class 2A playoffs, and who knows, maybe doing something there. They got one really good kid, defensive end named Chris Reed, who's getting looks from Syracuse, Wyoming, and some other big schools. So it's just really a great story, you know, to kind of come out of the shadows of the basketball program. One of the other things I mentioned in that column is that, you know, Coach Pingator, everybody knows about him for his coaching and basketball, obviously, but he's also been really supportive of the football program. He said, he told me, as I wrote, that he thinks he's seen more St. Joe football games than anybody in history.
He's a legend, that's for sure, and I appreciate you taking the time to shine some light on a football program that doesn't get the love that maybe it deserves this season. So that's Mike Clark from the Chicago Tribune. He's on Twitter at Mike Clark Preps. Final score of the game that he covered, Lincoln Way East, they're ranked number 5. They win at Bolingbrook, 41-23. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you in week 5. It's flying by.
Sounds good, guys.
Mike Clark from the Chicago Tribune. Let's get our first check of the Preps Plus scores. Here's Kevin Powell.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
All right, we'll run through the top 20, give you all the scores that we have, and then we'll run through the rest of the scores throughout the state, the ones we have. Once again, 312-981-7200. If you have a score, send it our way, and we'll get it on the air for you. Number 3, Homewood Flossmoor cruises over Lockport, 53-24. The top 2 teams, Loyola Glenbard West, they play tomorrow. Brother Rice up 42-0 over Montini late in that game. As you just heard, Lincoln Way East over Bolingbrook, 41-23. Neuqua Valley cruised over Wheaton South, 48-19. Likewise for Palatine over New Trier, 41-21 victory. Barrington moves to 4-0. Their 35-7 victory over Evanston. Moving on to the 12th-ranked team, Fenwick. They beat Leo 36-8. Sam, here's an upset for you.
Yes.
Wabanzee Valley loses their second straight. And pretty handedly by Naperville Central. They fall 33-16 to Naperville Central, so Wabanzee moves to 2-2, evens their record out. Batavia blanks Elgin 48-0. Maine South, a big win over Conant, 45-7. Phillips cruise past Westinghouse, a 48-6 victory there. And another upset alert, Sam. St. Charles North losing to St. Charles East late, 28-14. St. Charles East leading. St. Charles North, who's ranked 18th in the Tribune's top 20, 28-14 late in that game. Marist up over Marion Central, 17-0 late. And Libertyville, a 40-7 win over Waukegan. A couple other scores to run through. Fremd edges Glenbrook South, 24-21. Aurora Central Catholic over Riverside Brookfield, 21-20. Huntley improved to 3-1. They beat Hampshire, 49-7. Notre Dame over Joliet Catholic, 35-17. Glenbrook North over Prospect, 34-10. That's a look at your Preps Plus scoreboard update.
More scores, 35 and 55 on your clock. You can get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune news. Become a member right now. ChicagoTribune.com. Up next, the head coach of number 1 Loyola, John Halasek, 720 WGN.
Back to the Friday Night Lights and Preps Plus Chicago on 720 WGN.
As we always do at this time, we join one of the coaches for one of the programs in the state of Illinois, mostly in Chicagoland, and this is one of the best programs. They won a state championship last year. They're number 1 right now, 3-0, the Loyola Ramblers. John Halasek is the head coach, and he joins us now on Preps Plus. I bet you don't like playing on Saturdays too much as we welcome you in. What's that like when you have to go from mostly Fridays and then you get that dud for a Saturday?
Well, it's not as exciting. Obviously, you don't get enough people at the games on Saturday with Northwestern close and, you know, the college football and kids have other activities. So it doesn't seem as excitement, but we're used to it here.
How was the Mount Carmel game? That thing came down to the wire. You guys escaped playing at Gately, one of the harder places to take a young football team. 35-28, right? They had threw a pass in the end zone as time expired. You were able to keep them out of the end zone. But what was that game like as a coach?
Well, two games in a row, we went down to the basically last defensive play. Same circumstance at Maine South, where if they scored the 2-point, they go up by a point with a few seconds left. So My heart's still alive. I'm still beating, but I might have to get it checked out. It's kind of ridiculous that both weeks have happened like that, but it's nice to come out on top.
Does anybody want to play Loyola in non-conference? How tough has it been to schedule that game for you guys?
Well, we've been lucky to schedule a Jesuit school, fellow Jesuit school, up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Unfortunately, that just came to an end. But, you know, it's the same as all the big schools that have good programs. I think Mount Carmel's the same. No one wants to play them. No one wants to schedule. So you'd look to go out of state or find some sort of neighborhood rivalry. So it looks like next year we're going to it's a very probable that we can get some local schools nearby since we're not playing Marquette, but we've played Maine South the last two, and that's a nice neighborhood rivalry.
9 weeks into the regular season, or 9 weeks in the regular season, I should say, when do you know when your team is fully into form? Does it get till like week four or five, then you know what you have, or does it take even longer sometimes?
Well, last year I was really confident after the first three games, four games. This year, you know, offensively we've been moving the ball and scoring a lot of points, and we're good, but we're not fully complete on defense. A lot of injuries, a lot of things going on defensively. We need to shore up. Kicking game, you know, still have you know, some things to prove. So this year, it kind of depends on the year and depends on the seniors and the experience level. This year, we have a long way to go. I know we're a good team. We could probably beat most teams, but if we don't play a good game, if we make mistakes, we can lose to anybody.
Last season, 8A championship, Husky Stadium, you guys just pounded Marist. That was your first title as a head coach. I think that was your first title ever, first championship ever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You had to wait till you were 44 to get that jewelry.
Yes, it was nice. I mean, a couple prep bowls, but nothing like the state championship. It was special. It was a special team last year.
Loyola ranked number one in the Tribune Top 20. The Ramblers play on Saturday against St. Francis at 1:30. It's a home game for Loyola. Lovie Smith, I know he wanted a piece. I know that they reached out, yet you remain at Loyola. Why?
Just so exciting to have Lovie at the alma mater. I mean, he brings instant credibility nationwide. What a get for Josh Whitman down there. But, you know, it's flattering when he called me, reached out. Obviously, I'm an alum and have been in the NFL, so I think being the high school coach and from a great program at Loyola, you know, he's going to reach out to me. But there's a lot of things that keep me at home. Family, just the grind of the college coaching career, the amount of turnover, it's just everything. There's lots of things, but it's very flattering for the interest, but, you know, it just wasn't the right fit.
Are you going to stay there forever?
Well, I'm probably going to retire earlier than your high school coach Frank Lenny. I think Frank's going to last forever.
Yeah.
I don't know about forever, but
I mean, no other jobs. You're not going to take another
no.
job.
I have three kids, three boys coming up the pipeline. So they're a local Catholic school, and then they're going to be here in a few years, all three of them. So I'm set.
John Holosek, you played for Illinois in college, then the Bills, the Chargers, the Falcons. Was there a better mentor that you ever had coaching-wise, Marv Levy? I mean, you got to spend a lot of time with him.
Just an amazing man. People know about, you know, his Harvard education, but it's really how he just talks to people. And he walks in the locker room. When he speaks, it doesn't matter what background you come from. Obviously, he's highly educated and very intelligent, but everyone from any background just sits there on the edge of their seat waiting for his words because he just has that aura of intelligence and caring. And what a great man. What a great Chicago legend. And it's great to have him around. And I got to see him this spring for a speaking engagement he had at DePaul Academy. Still active and just amazing at his age.
Do you remember the first time you got your clock cleaned in the NFL? Do you remember who did it?
No, I don't remember the first because.
Do you remember a big one when somebody came around, maybe a fullback or somebody just cracked you?
Oh well, I was more of the Mike linebacker that came downhill. But in college, I remember the first that when you say that my first hit in college, first play was a punt rush in special teams, first practice, and I got hit so hard I wanted to cry, and I immediately called my mom afterwards and said, I don't know if I could do this. And then I realized it was a 6'5", 265-pound tight end that just blocked the NFL for like 6 years. And just a monster of a man that hit me. But everyone gets their shots. It's hopefully you can get up each time and shake it off. And that was the case for me, too.
I don't know how much NFL you watch. It's getting tough to be a defensive player in the NFL because I don't know what isn't a flag anymore. Are you up to speed on this now? I don't know where you hit players anymore in the NFL.
Well, I mean, the NFL is based on offense. We all know. All the defensive players are you know, cognizant of that, and I think the fantasy sports help out, and they want to keep scoring, they want to keep offense, they want to keep injury free, so you can't target, you can't hit late, you can't do anything, you know, but, you know, it's the game, the rules are the rules, and if it makes a safer game for the players, then obviously we have to embrace that.
Another question or two for John Holasek, head coach of the number one ranked Loyola Ramblers. You know this public-private thing is real. It's growing legs. I keep hearing it. We may have two separate tournaments in the state playoffs now. What do you think about that, possibility of splitting public and private?
You know, there's obviously pros and cons on both sides, but it's one of those things that I don't even look at the schedule. Our AD does it. Let's just, you know, I'm not – in favor of one or the other. I see the public's the problem with the Catholic schools that can recruit or the private schools that can recruit and things like that. It's just if you have everybody playing by the same rules, it would be, you know, it'd be equal and shouldn't be a problem. But some schools seem to recruit for football. Some schools don't. I know up here at Loyola Academy, it's a highly, you know, it's a high college prep school with high academic requirements, so I don't think anyone should be pointing their finger at someone like us that supposedly recruit athletes. It doesn't happen. So I do know that the disparity is out there, but let's see this year. It looked like the top, you know, 10 teams, there's going to be, you know, 8 of them are going to be public, I think, right soon or shortly. You just never know. It's just week to week and year to year, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, a lot of the public cries sometimes, I think, are far-fetched because, I mean, I've been around the high school private level for a long time. I mean, you guys are not only battling attendance. I mean, a lot of these schools, if football isn't king, the school might not even be open. And then you guys also compete against each other. So it's a lot more difficult than people think to be a private school coach.
Yeah, it's one of those that the grass is greener, or everyone thinks they know something, and it's easy to criticize, but you know, until you get in there and look at all the problems you have at the Catholic school, the kids transferring out, the kids that get kicked out from in my experience here, I mean, if I would have everyone that would started in this class, my senior class, I'd be feeling really good right now. But we have a lot of kids that defect for other reasons. I mean, socially, economic, academic. When you lose a bunch of kids every year, you know, you look at it. That doesn't happen in public school. So there's pros and cons, and then we play each other and get beat up and get injured. So you know, Mount Carmel, Brother Rice, St. Rita, Providence, and us in the Catholic League Blue, we pound each other. So it's not easy coming out of a schedule like that.
It's a great debate, and I'm glad that we can talk about it here on Preps Plus. That's John Holasek, the head coach of number one Loyola. Ramblers are 3-0. They won a state title last year. Saturday against St. Francis at 1:30. Good luck, coach. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
I'm Kevin Powell. We'll run through the top 20 for you and then give you a bunch of scores throughout the state. Loyola and Glenbard West, the top two ranked teams off until tomorrow. Number three, Homewood Flossmoor cruised over Lockport 53-24. Brother Rice over Montini 42-7. Lincoln Way East top Bolingbrook 41-23. Number six, Mount Carmel, easy win over DePaul Prep 49-8. Number seven, Neuqua Valley over Wheaton South, 48-19. Palatine beats New Trier, 41-21. Number nine, Barrington, 35-7 win over Evanston. Prairie Ridge, big win over Crystal Lake South, 56-7. Oak Park over Proviso West, 42-8. Fenwick beats Leo, 36-8. Your first upset of the night, 13th-ranked Waubonsie Valley, beaten by Naperville Central, 33-16. 14th-ranked Glenbard North plays tomorrow at Thornton. 15 Batavia, Blanks Elgin 48 zip, Mount Main South over Conant 45-7, Phillips over Westinghouse 48-6. Here's your second upset of the night. St. Charles North beaten by their rival St. Charles East 28-21. St. Charles North coming in as the 18th ranked team this weekend. Marist Blanks Marion Central 45-0. Libertyville over Waukegan 40-7, and that rounds out your top 20. Some other scores around the state. Rolling Meadows beat Maine West 13-0. Marmion over Bishop McNamara 16-10. Notre Dame over Joliet Catholic 35-17. Some Central Illinois scores. Champaign Centennial over Champaign Central 27-14. Rantoul, big win over Bloomington 58-0. Eureka over Fieldcrest 47-0. Back up here in the Western Burbs, Niles West beat Elk Grove 48-34. Providence over St. Ignatius 48-14. Hinsdale Central over York 35-7. And Fulton over Riverdale with a 42-2. I don't have the score for Riverdale. I'm not going to make it up, but Fulton won. I promise you that. That's your Preps Plus scoreboard update of Kevin Powell.
Thanks, KP. Let's do this. We bring in the coach, Mike Helfgott, your Preps Plus prize. I haven't actually called you that all season. I missed that terminology. Head writer for the Prep section, Chicago Tribune. He joins us now. Surprising that you weren't at a top 20 game. You had Palatine at New Trier. That's a mid-suburban, central-suburban showdown, and a nice win for Palatine, 41-21 over the Trevians. What was the story, Mike?
It is. Well, Palatine is ranked eighth. So I guess one could argue it was a top 20 game.
Oh, you know what? But, you know, I just can't read. I'm sorry. You know, I can't read. That is that's an 8 in front of Palatine. That's my bad. That's my bad. Okay, so what happened at this top 20 game that you covered?
Palatine came out and kind of dominated the game. They got three or four turnovers, but, you know, really kind of made a big statement for the MSL West. After Barrington last week beat Maine South, Palatine comes back, goes on the road, beats New Trier 41-21.
Mike Helfgott, brought to you by Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's Deep Dish Pizza. Find one of 40 plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. When I see 41, I think offense, but this feels like maybe there was like some defensive touchdowns. How did they get all those points for Palatine?
Jake Mortal did have a pick six for Palatine, one of his two interceptions and one of Palatine's three. But Zach Olas, Palatine's quarterback, just one of these, you know, really just great high school players, maybe not big enough for it to be a Division I quarterback, just a real gritty gamer type, good runner, good passer. And, you know, the offense, every time they needed to move the ball, they were able to. I think they had over 500 yards of offense.
Mike, I'm a mid-suburban league guy. Played at Hersey, got their first win of the night, by the way. Just figured I'd mention that. Husky pride. Mid-suburban league, compared to some other conferences around the state, it seems like it's always an up-and-down type thing for them. Sometimes they have some powerhouses, sometimes clunkers. What's the state of the mid-suburban league other than Palatine?
Well, I'm an MSL guy myself from Wheeling.
There you go.
In the 80s. And in the 80s, the MSL was a great program.
It's when the Huskies got their state championship.
That's right. Duke Tobin was the quarterback.
That's right. Wow.
You know, MSL Barrington was always good. And then there was a lull in the 90s and even in the 2000s where an MSL team, particularly in the 2000s, hasn't even been to the state final since 98, I believe it is. So,
Prospect, you know, had that run for a while where they had, what, 3 and 5 right. years or something, and BG at Zibikowski, Hersey had a couple. But it always seems to be up and down. It's this big flux right. of whether great or not great at all.
And those were MSL East teams. The MSL yeah, West hasn't right. been at a final team, you know, in 20 years. And those are the bigger schools.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's really turned around. I mean, you look at Palatine and Barrington both. You know, those are top 10 teams and certainly, you know, deserve it.
Mike Helfgott from the Chicago Tribune with us on Preps Plus 720 WGN. The last 10 years, Mike, it's been in the Catholic League. We've talked Mount Carmel, Loyola, St. Rita, Providence. Look out for Brother Rice here. They win again tonight, easy, on 99th and Pulaski, 42-7. They crack Montini at homecoming. Brother Rice now has scored 179 points in four games. That's 45 points a game, Mike, for the Crusaders.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the true test is, you know, as you know, in the Catholic booth, the true test come when you play Mount Carmel and Loyola. But, you know, Ricky Smalling, we've been talking about him for a couple of years now. He's a special player. And I think we're seeing, you know, and they do a good enough job on their offense where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't with him. You know, if you want to commit extra guys to him, they've got other guys, they've got a good scheme, and they're going to beat you either way.
Are you surprised that when we look at your top 20, you put this together, in the top 10, seven of them are public schools? Are you surprised by that?
It's still disproportionate to the amount of overall, you know, Catholic schools there are compared to public. I mean, maybe that's a mild surprise, but, you know, these rankings, you know, coming from someone who makes them, rankings are what they are, you know what I mean?
Well, we had John Hollisek on the show, and he talked about how life as a private school coach isn't as glamorous as you think, because not only are you fighting attendance issues, you know, some schools, if football isn't going well, the schools could close their doors. And secondly, they're competing against each other. They're all going for the same kids. So this idea that private schools get everybody they want, he thinks it's a little far-fetched. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, both sides of that argument are going to have good points. Some you know, it's school to school. Some schools have an awful lot to offer to get kids in their doors that public schools just can't offer. So, I mean, certainly that's one that can be argued, you know, on both sides.
Last thing before we let you go here, that's Mike Helfgott, brought to you by Lou Malnati's. He writes for the Chicago Tribune. Is this nugget correct? There's a game tomorrow. It's Joliet Central and Plainfield East. Joliet Central's lost 71 games in a row. Plainfield East has lost 32 games in a row. Am I reading this right?
That nugget is certainly a nugget.
Wow. That's bad football. What is that? That's got to be a record. These teams haven't won forever.
You know, I wrote today in my blog, I feel bad shining a light on these games. I played for a freshman basketball team that won one game, and the sophomore team won zero games.
Ugh.
And that was embarrassing before social media and before, you know, and all that. So, you know, I mean, I just hope that somebody wins this game and it doesn't somehow end in a tie.
That could be a rush the field situation for the fan base, right? I mean, breaking those sorts of losing streaks, I think it's worth charging the field. Not to encourage that sort of thing, you know, for safety reasons. But, you know, if they were to do it, it would be fairly acceptable tomorrow.
We treated that one freshman basketball win in 1987 like it was the NBA title. So.
Minus all the champagne and probably the big jewelry at the end.
That was later at night.
Yeah. All right.
Derek Mitchell off. Yep.
We will talk to you. It's already week four. Crazy to think. We'll talk to you in week five. Brought to you by Lou Malnati's. He's Mike Helfgott, your lead preps writer for the Chicago Tribune. Read his stuff around the weekends and all weekend long. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike. That is the coach, Mike Helfgott. He tags out. Let's do this. We'll tag team right here. Let's start with Rich Mayer and the game that Rich covered today. Barrington-Evanston. Barrington rated number 9, Evanston undefeated. Both teams were 3-0 coming in, but no problem for Barrington. They beat Evanston 35-7. What happened, Rich?
Oh, I think we got that a little bit twisted. I was at Carmel Naz.
Oh, you were at Carmel Naz. Wow, we did get that.
Yeah.
We did get that flipped. This is a huge conundrum here on the show. But hey, let's shift real quickly. Let's just fast forward to what you actually did cover, and why don't you give me the score and actually what happened?
Carmel won 21-10. They managed to score two touchdowns in the final 11 minutes of the game, and you know, they pulled out a game that I would think it was safe to say they were the pretty significant underdog going in.
So Nazareth, now did they get back to the run game, because that had been a problem for Naz?
Yeah, they got back to the run game. And the players were saying afterward, you know, it's a funny thing talking to seniors that have just, you know, that all they know is winning, and they just have such a great perspective on it. This is just one game. It's not the playoffs. You know, what's the difference? But there are flashes of greatness. The running game was no different. I will note that running back Cameron Weems left the game in the third quarter. They said he might be okay. It was a calf injury, but he's explosive. And when he went out, they had trouble moving the ball. But the running game looked good. No one wants to see that.
Final score one more time.
Carmel 21, Naz 10.
All righty, defensive showdown. That was Rich Mayer from the Chicago Tribune. I'll get your game right next week, I promise.
All right, I hope so.
That's Rich Mayer. He's on Twitter at CityHall03. That is the editor of the paper, by the way, that said that he was at the other game. So let's do this. Let's hope that Steve Reaven was at Glenbrook North and Prospect. Can we start there? Is that the correct game, Steve?
I was where you think I was. So, yeah, Glenbrook North got a win tonight over Prospect 34-10.
Okay, so Glenbrook North, 4-0. 4-0 start for Glenbrook North.
Yeah, first their best start since 2004. They ran off 11 straight wins that year and then got beat in the playoffs at 11-1. But they're off to a great start. Three of their four wins have been more or less blowouts. They had a close one over Hersey last week where they had to stop a two-point conversion in the last minute to hold them off.
Real
good offense for Glenbrook North, and they've had a nice run so far.
When we think Glenbrook North recently, we think basketball, a solid basketball program, but football on the rise, 4-0 now, and they score 34 points against a Prospect team that has been known to do some good things in Illinois football. How did they get so many points?
You know, Glenbrook North quarterback Kevin Burnside has a real good receiver core. He's got four receivers he can depend on. Alexander Bubaris a couple weeks ago had over 200 yards receiving. Three other guys got into the mix more today, and they really think they can throw the ball whenever they want. They've got a decent running back, too. Jimmy Karfus, it was funny tonight, Burnside threw for over 300 yards, but they had five rushing touchdowns. The passing game did a lot of the work yardage-wise, and they had five short rushing touchdowns.
Steve Reaven, he covered a win for Glenbrook North, 34-10 over Prospect. Glenbrook North now undefeated. They are 4-0. Thank you, Steve. We'll talk to you next week.
No problem, guys. Talk
more scores after this, 720 WGN.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago. Scoreboard.
All right, taking a look at your Chicago Tribune top 20 rankings. All chalk. The only two upsets, 13th ranked, Waubonsie Valley losing to Naperville Central, 33-16. And 18th-ranked St. Charles North falling to their rivals, St. Charles East, 28-21. The top two-ranked teams, Loyola, Glenbar West, play tomorrow. Not against each other, separate games, but no game for them tonight. And again, the rest of the top 20, all chalk. If you want to get scores from your area, go to WGNradio.com. There's a live link at the top of our webpage, Preps Plus Chicago. Click on that. You can scroll through and find any game you would like. That's your Preps Plus scoreboard update.
That's why you get the big bucks. That's a full scoreboard in, what, like 40 seconds? That's the way.
I wouldn't say full.
No, it's full.
But like
just,
I said, all chalk tease. In the top 20. And, of course, almost forgot to mention the most important score of the night, the Hersey Huskies getting their first victory of the year, 24-20 over Niles North.
So we thank John Holosek, head coach of number one Loyola. They play tomorrow at 1:30. Mike Helfgott, Mike Clark, Rich Mayer, Steve Reaven. If you missed anything, WGNradio.com. Look for Preps Plus. Patty, I don't know if you've heard the story. We welcome in Patty Vasquez.
Hello.
Elliot Serrano is here as well. Are you going to say anything?
Yeah, just gonna... say hi. No, he's stretching.
Okay, he was adjusting his pants.
Well, he had like a muzzle on. I was waiting for you to take it off. You
need to be comfortable.
What does it mean? Okay, tell the geek
hey,
who's
we're
not
into the
sports.
News here. Speed it
right.
up.
Right. What is this chalk? I mean, when I think of chalk, I think of chalk outlines.
Chalk like, just someone... means like the favorite one.
Oh,
the
so
team
I mean,
that was supposed to win, they won.
So like, if you're looking at a tournament, basketball, tennis, whatever, and all the favorites won, chalk across the board.
Chalk
so,
across
Patty,
the board.
So you get to know that your team's a favorite. Yes.
Kevin gave That's a pep true. Talk to the Hersey Huskies before the season.
Oh.
They followed up the pep talk with three losses.
Oh.
So they finally won tonight.
It sank in. It
right.
just sank
it
in.
It just took a couple of weeks.
It was so
weeks.
Powerful and profound yeah. that it took a few weeks to really settle in and to register for the youngsters.
Yeah,
so.
They got to process that. Right. They still have developing brains. Their frontal lobe has not right. finished yet.
That is right. Go Huskies. Husky pride.
Thank
and,
you to
your frontal lobes.
Joey Gelman, by the way, the executive producer.
Thanks,
what's coming up pretty late?
We have Elliot Serrano, of course. We're playing What's in the Box and the Weekend Wind-Up with Rob Martier and our favorite bartender, Tim, and will join us in studio with some lovely cocktails.
I folded the sponsor. I probably shouldn't fold it. I have to read it.
I do that all the time. Like, is it like nervous fiddling? You just start messing up with the papers that you actually
so.
Need? Yes.
I don't know what it is. But that, I do know Patty Vasquez is up next. She's got a great show.
Thank you.
Starting after the news, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNradio.com, sponsored here at 1103 by LouHairVideo.com. Rob Martier.